Hello there, brave souls. Welcome to Trauma is Expensive with your host, Micah Bravery. Here, we don't just talk about trauma. We count the cost and we make the change. With every episode, we dive deep into the heart of trauma, its implications, and the resilient transformations it can ignite. Through conversations, insights, real stories, and unflinching honesty, this podcast is here to empower every survivor to turn their pain into progress. So let's take a journey together as we understand, confront, and finally heal. Welcome to www.traumaisexpensive.com, your platform for change. Now, let's get started.
Welcome to what is perhaps the most heartfelt episode of Trauma is Expensive yet. Other than the episode we talked about Maddie, where someone threatened to put a hole through her chest. I don't know. It's been a crazy week. My mom had surgery, as you guys know, and it had its complications. And I thought last week was my last week of chemo, and it's not. This week is my last week of chemo. And I guess I just need to get some things off my chest. So I'm going to do what I always do, right? As one of our listeners told me. It's pretty funny. I mean, he's a pretty consistent listener. He listens all the time, but he says I talk too much. Yes, I do. But no, honestly, what he said was he felt like I needed to stop talking so much with myself and allow the guest to basically be more involved in the interview. And, you know, for a long time, I was thinking about it. And I was like, it's kind of crazy because the reason I do that is because I ask questions that sometimes need an example. And I never want to offend anybody by making up an example, making up feelings. I mean, I never want to betray someone's trauma by fictionalizing stories that to some are very real. So because I have had a life full of trauma, the only truth that I can speak on when I ask certain questions is my own. And, you know, it's like I hate that you see it as a way that I'm always talking about myself. And it is. I do always talk about myself. But it's not. Well, number one, I'm going to tell you now, I am all about the free therapy, right? So I do welcome advice on my personal life on our podcast. However, I don't want to belittle any trauma that people are going through. So trying to make up examples, I don't know the feelings behind them. Trying to research and realize what some people are going through, I don't know. I'm just saying, hey, if you want to come up here and tell your story, if you want to teach a lesson, you survive something and you feel like you're not being represented, send me an email. podcast@fuckingfeelings.com. That is FUKKEN. podcast@fuckingfeelings.com. Let's begin the episode. Today I pulled back the curtains on a life story that oscillates between the shadows of profound sorrow and the pursuit of light. This narrative is not only mine, but also a shared echo of countless silent battles being fought in darkness. By exposing the raw and stark reality of my own experiences, I aim to reach out to those in their own darkness, offering a glimmer of hope that healing begins with the acknowledgement of our pain. And from there, we can collectively navigate our way back to the light. Now, if you guys listen to these fucking feelings podcasts, you would know that I sit on a lot of trauma. But just recently, I kind of been telling people about the first memory I ever had in life. And the first memory I ever had of my life. Like, if I go back and I'm trying to think about me in diapers, I don't have a lot of memories. The first memory that comes to my mind is me being molested. I endured 16 years in a cycle of sexual assault and abuse. It was a reality so harsh that it seemed like the universe designed this to break my spirit. Once again, if people do listen to things, you would know that I'm very conflicted when it comes to my relationship with God, because I don't know what to believe. I don't believe. I've been through some very, very horrible things from a very, very young age. I feel like from the time I'm 18 over, those mistakes was mine. But Lord, from newborn to 18, I ain't gonna say that those, because I don't know if they were mistakes. I don't know what they were. But those lessons and them trying times and the things that I had to overcome, I don't know how you could allow me to have gone through it. But that is a story for another day, right? The worst thing about being abused is that it came from my own community. And when I say my own community, I am Puerto Rican. I grew up around Puerto Ricans and African Americans. To me, that is my community. Okay. And people who should have been my guardians were my tormentors. People who should have respected the fact that I did come from their community were my tormentors. They didn't just inflict physical wounds, but they assaulted the very essence of my being. It left me feeling worthless and alone. And sometimes I still feel alone. The relentless abuse was so dark that I was even traded for drugs by someone I loved. It kind of was the ultimate betrayal for me. And it also marked the moment that I realized that my worth to some can be monetized. And I was now a commodity. And yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. But I'm going to say probably the most horrible thing that happened was an ordeal when my attacker, or one of my attackers, and I don't know, my sexual assault is really, really strange, because it was most of the time people I knew. I don't want to use the word attacker, because I wasn't attacked. But, you know, my assaulter, one of my assaulters, used to cut small holes on my body, and he used to use that blood to basically pleasure himself. It was crazy. It wasn't just an assault on my body at this time, but it was a profound spit on my humanity. It has left scars that I still feel to this day. I feel like I haven't survived this trauma, but I learned to endure it. The violation was compounded by devastating yeah. So now we go and move on from there. And I've had some pretty common issues too, like losing everything I once owned in a house fire, living in places that weren't safe, having to live in shelters, and then just always being reminded of my vulnerability to violence because of what I've been through. But these trials, even the simplest act of trust, became Herculean task. I always talk about a barber and having a barber. You know, it took a long time for me to find a barber that I could trust, because I go through a lot of triggering issues when I'm in a barber chair, just because of how, especially if the barber is male, and it's just because it's an unwanted touch. I don't want you to touch me, but I know I need a haircut because I got that crazy hair that does that crazy curly weird stuff, and it's uncontrollable if it gets long. I need a haircut, right? But You know, to be honest, this has been one of like a big struggle for me. Having a barber, trying to find a barber. For the most part, I used to find kind of like women barbers, you know. But then women are crazy. I love y'all though. But this barber was just, you know, she did everything in her power to make me a racist. And I don't know why. I think it had a lot to do with the fact that I am so fair skinned and I had green eyes, but I still got Puerto Rican hair. But it was just something. I mean, she used to walk around and call me white boy, but you know, eventually I realized that that was starting a whole nother trauma. So I found a new barber. Now this barber is awesome, but he's a male and it causes a lot of anxiety when I'm in his chair. I go through like panic attacks and I want to just run and leave. And it's like, no, you can't. You kind of have to like stick it out. You need a haircut. Okay, bro, you need a haircut. So throughout my journey, I struggled to understand the motivations of those who inflicted such pain, coming to realize that their actions were a reflection of their own tormented narratives. It didn't have anything to do with me. This realization provided some context, but it did little to alleviate the pain or erase the scars that were already on my soul. Yet, it was through this relentless darkness, through confronting the depths of my suffering, that I began to discern the faint glimmer of light, the resilience of my spirit, and the unyielding strength that has carried me through the darkest nights. Sharing this story isn't about dwelling in pain, but about shattering the silence that often comes with trauma. It's a declaration that we are not defined by our suffering, that we are far more than the sum of our painful experiences, and that dialogue, and this dialogue, is an invitation to anyone bearing the weight of unseen scars. It's a call to recognize that our journeys through shared painful experiences can be a testament to growth, incredible strength, and resilience. The path of healing is a unique one for everybody. I say that all the time on These Fucking Feelings podcast. Quick shout out, brand new episodes every Wednesday. I think it's true. Okay. It's like healing is different for everybody. It's not one size fits all. And in these journeys, you're going to have setbacks, you're going to have victories, you're going to have tears, you're going to have triumphs. It demands that we confront our darkest fear, embrace our vulnerability, and painfully piece together the fragments of our shattered self. I say painfully because in order to piece it together, it's kind of like a puzzle. You have to find the piece. You have to make sure it fits in the right spot. And sometimes that's reliving moments. So it's painful. But the path revealed to me through boundless captivity of the human heart to endure, to find hope, and ultimately heal, kind of got me through it. I knew I wanted to heal. I knew I needed to heal. And I started healing. So in this conversation, remember that your story, your pain, and your journey towards healing matters. That you're not alone in your struggle. That your voice deserves to be heard. Together, I say we confront our traumas. We acknowledge our pain. We embark on those first tentative steps towards healing. The message I hope to impart is that no matter how deep our wounds are, how overwhelming nature of darkness can be, there is hope Healing starts the moment we believe we are worthy of a brighter, more peaceful future. Just begins with knowing you're worthy. And if you were born into this world, believe me, you are worthy. By sharing my story, I wanted to offer a beacon for those navigating through life's own darkness, or through their life's darkness, alone. It's a testament to the possibility. Sheesh, can't have my tongue, of healing. To the idea that we can rise from the ashes of our pain and reclaim our lives. I think that's one of the reasons why I got a phoenix tattooed on me. Because I wanted to rise from the ashes. This episode of Trauma is Expensive is your invitation to begin that journey. To take that brave first step towards healing. Knowing that although the road may be long and fraught and filled with challenges, it leads to a place of peace, self-acceptance, a renewed hope, a new you, and a much happier life. But ultimately, it's that place of peace that you want. So let's embrace this journey of healing together, affirming our worthiness of love, peace, and happiness with every step we take. I am your host, Michael Bravery, wishing you peace, love, and joy. What? Ain't that how they were saying on Soul Train? But no. Peace, love, and blessings. Thank you guys for continuing to tune in. Remember, we're always going to have a brand new episode of Trauma is Expensive. I ain't going to say always because I don't always have my shit together. But for the most part, Wednesday, you can count on Wednesdays. There will always be an episode Wednesday that you can fall back on. Healing is important.
And that brings us to the end of yet another insightful episode of Trauma is Expensive. I'm signing off on behalf of your host, Micah Bravery, reminding all you brave souls to continue counting the cost and making the change. Don't forget to visit www.traumaisexpensive.com, a dynamic space for understanding, healing, and transformation, where we fuel the journey to turn pain into progress. Until we meet again, stay resilient, stay empowered, and remember the mantra: count the cost and make the change. Thank you for being part of the conversation. We bid you farewell until next time.